This is The Weekend Gardener on WPTF.
Well, you know, Mike Raley is truly one of a kind. Unfortunately for us, they threw away the mold when they made Mike, often imitated but never duplicated. I guess that not only does he hold the record for 50 years with WPTF, but I would bet big money that he holds the record in the state of North Carolina for all radio stations for tenure for a single station, maybe even the nation. Along the way, in addition to his voice being heard on WPTF, he's also shared his talents with other Curtis Media Group stations and networks. Of course, what would we be on The Weekend Gardener without Mike's wit, wisdom, and knowledge? Several years back, Mike was honored with induction into the North Carolina Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. But if you'd ask Mike, he values his listeners even more than that recognition. So thank you, Mike, for being a friend and for your contributions to the Curtis Media Group.
For 50 years, Mike Raley has been the voice you trust, the friend you welcome in every Saturday morning.
Congratulations, Mike. This is Aubrey Eatman. We've done so many live remotes together. The only thing I can say is it has always been my pleasure and honor to work with you. You're the best at what you do. Thank you for what you've done, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Today, we celebrate the man who helped it all grow.
Congratulations, Mike.
Yay, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Wow, Mike Raley.
Congratulations to my buddy, Mike Raley.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Congratulations on 50 years, Mike Raley. He's kind of a big deal. People know him.
This is The Weekend Gardener.
Wow. Mr. Curtis, thank you very much. I've known Don Curtis for 40 years. I have a lot of trouble saying Don as we greet. Hello, Don. It's always Mr. Curtis or Big Daddy when I'm on the air once in a while if I have enough nerve. But, what a gentleman. Thank you so much. Means more than you can ever know for all of you. But all these salespeople, I got four or five salesmen and a general manager and a vice president and a partridge in a pear tree. So I got it all.
Well, you know, Mike, I think it's very fitting. you know, for me, I started as an overnight board operator at PTF over 20 years ago. And the very first live newscast I ever produced was your newscast. You've just been an incredible influence in our newsroom. And it's just constantly set the bar so high. So I just, on behalf of everyone at Curtis Media, we want to say thank you for the 50 years you've given WPTF. And we've got you something we want you to remember this by.
Oh, my gosh.
Here, we have to take it out so you can see it. Congratulations, Mike. That's an incredible
feat. Oh, that's
heavy. So for those that obviously can't see this, it's a crystal microphone saying happy 50th to Mike Raley for broadcasting excellence. So we appreciate all that you do every single day. And let's do another 50. I think he can do it.
I don't know about 50, but we'll, I don't have anything else to do.
That looks like the real stuff. That looks like Waterford crystal. Yes.
It's very heavy. Wow. You know, the award that we got, a Hall of Fame award, is an obelisk that's about that high, and it's Swedish crystal, and it's very heavy. And I have two grandsons, one 4 and 1 6. So I'm going to have to hide these for, I haven't brought out that Hall of Fame thing, and I guess I'll have to just bring it out and look at it every once in a while.
We can 3D print one that you can keep out when the grandkids come over.
That would be nice. Oh, that is magnificent. Thank you so much.
Well, what an innovative award.
That's beyond thoughtful.
Yeah.
Hey, Monica.
Good morning.
How about that?
That's awesome. It's like I love it.
It's like a missile or something getting ready to take off. Yeah.
There's probably not many of those around, especially with the 50-year part.
I don't know who came up with this, but that is gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Thank you. I'll put it back in here before I really... I've said this before. I I don't know how I got a job here in the first place, because I should not have gotten a job. The only experience I had was working at WKNC, and I didn't have a lot of experience working there. But I did take the only course that NC State had at the time. It was a radio course, and it was a wonderful course. So I took it, and we toured stations. That was part of it. Went to WPTF, and I don't remember if I learned anything in that course or not, but one day the professor said that there was a job posting for a producer at WPTF. So I applied, and I got the job. Out of, I was told later, at like 40-some people, I got the job. And I to this day, I don't know why they would have chosen me, because I know there were bound to be a lot of people who had, and there was a lot of responsibility tied to this job. The two premier shows beside the morning show were Sportsline and Open Line. They were nighttime talk shows that guys who did the shows, Gary Dornberg and Bart Rittner, were known all over the place. And so I had to run the board and answer calls and work with them and learn. Now, I had Ivy League education and broadcasting by working with those guys, but you know, it wasn't like they gave me anything. I had to work for, I had to earn it. It was not easy. But now Hap Hansen told me that it was Evelyn Ramey actually hired me. She was the assistant program director, but everybody else had to sign off on it. And Hap claimed that she hired me because I was good looking. And I'd like to think that that was the reason, but
that's why Melissa said she married.
It was certainly not having any experience in broadcasting.
She liked that life-saving picture you showed me.
Well,
what was it like to work with Charlie Gaddy?
I didn't get a chance to work with Charlie. He left 5 years before I got there, but I've known Charlie for a long time, and Charlie, ironically, had very much the same route into WPTF that I did, because Charlie didn't have any radio experience either, to speak of, no commercial experience. He had worked as a page at the big NBC affiliate in Washington, WRC, and Charlie's claim to fame was there was a strike during the summer that he was working there, and he got called upon, good-looking guy, very articulate, he was called upon to take the place of some of the anchors who were on strike. So, but after that strike was settled, Charlie was either had to go back and be a page or find a job. So he applied for a job as an announcer at WPTF, and he got it. So in 1960, and he left in 1970 to go on to WRAL. So I wish I had gotten a chance to work with Charlie. I think we would have had a lot of fun together. Charlie was a natural, like many of these guys.
I think he was a Walter Cronkite of North Carolina.
He was, in some ways even better than Walter. And so he was. It was more of a heartwarming thing for Charlie. Charlie is like Deborah Morgan, who is getting ready to retire. Charlie is so unique in that he could do hard news, but he was somebody you could relate to and somebody who was comforting. And I think you have to have that in the news business if you are a TV anchor or a news anchor, talk show host who has to present bad news. Especially something like the tornado in 1988 here. Charlie was very comforting. He was comforting out among the people the night of that terrible tragedy and so many other things like that. So I think, Charlie was a natural. And I think Bart and Wally Ausley, Dornberg, all those guys were naturals. That was part of why they were there. It was no big come on. no antics with them. They were just professionals. And that's part of what they taught me. But essentially, I should never have gotten this job, but I have hung on to it for 50 years.
We're glad you did.
I am, too. Miss Monica, you doing okay?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm a little overwhelmed. I think it'll none of this is this 50-year thing I've been thinking about for a long time. And now that it's – well, it's not quite here. Next Friday is actually the day, April 25th, 1975 was when I was officially hired. Hmm. So I think I can breathe a sigh of relief. I've pretty much made it to that point. I was worried something was going to happen in the meantime. When I really started thinking about it, I said, man, you're really close. You ought to just stick with this. And so I did. And but I said, I'm just going to get fired or get shot or something. You know, something's going to happen.
Somebody's, I remember one time we were giving you the order of the longleaf pie, and the big boss, Don, with whom I went to school, said, Mike Raley is a worrier, but he'd be the last person that would be fired at WPTF.
Well, yeah, I remember that day. I was doing a newscast, and I think I was trying to do my last newscast, and Brian Freeman, who was the program director, came back and got me. He says, I need you to talk to this salesman about something, if you got a minute. I said, well, I got to do a newscast. He said, well, come on, I'll get somebody else to do the newscast. And I'm walking back. I said, what in the world? All I'm thinking about is that stupid newscast. And I walk in, and there are all these people in there, my family, and lots of food. And there's Rufus and Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
That was
quite a day.
Yeah, that seems like a long time ago. Well, this is just as, or even better.
Well, you picked a wonderful time to have a work anniversary because it's strawberry season. And Monica, I have to ask, is this Camarosa or Sweet Charlie? Oh, man.
We got some beautiful strawberries
in front of us.
I'm not going to say for sure because I know there's some new varieties as well that some of the farmers are growing that look very similar. So I do not know. And I'm not even certain where these particular ones came from. I'm sure one of our folks brought them by.
Market Grill.
I
assume there are Rufus dogs in there. Rufus, have you even checked?
Oh, my goodness. Oh. I see it right now. Some lucky person is going to get a Rufus dog.
You can eat during the show. That's what Jim Valvano, one of the things that I did during my career was produce for a couple of years, I guess, when it was at WPTF, the Jim Valvano show. And Coach V would come in a jumpsuit and go to the nab machine and get him a bag of potato chips. And he would commence to eat and smack during the whole show. So, go right ahead. Knock yourself out, Rufus.
Well, I'm pretty bad about that with my nabs.
Well, go ahead and have a hot dog.
Well, not right yet.
Rufus dog.
We're going to give that to your boss over here.
You like Rufus dogs? Mustard, slaw, chili, and onions.
Uh-oh.
I'll have to see Rufus do it first.
No one will want to kiss you after a Rufus dog, though, I'll tell you that. So what you got going on? Anything extra special? We were just talking about you. The commissioner needs to build a sleeping room onto the to the building out here since you're out here about 24 hours a day, aren't you?
There are times that I have been, that's for sure.
I know.
Just lots going on, but our market, you know, parts of it are functional 24 hours a day, so sometimes that's just what it takes. We have got so many plants and flowers. If you love gardening and you love planting flowers or digging in the dirt a little bit, it's definitely a place to come out and do some shopping for plants and flowers, support all of our local growers. Our farmer's shed is just busting at the seams right now with so much beautiful color. There's shrubbery, there's hanging baskets, there's bedding plants, vegetable plants, herbs, perennials, house plants, and the list just goes on and on. And I think if it's a plant and you can't find it here, I don't know, maybe you just don't really need it.
Plus, it smells good. Josh Ellis was talking about how good it smells in the market shops.
Oh,
and
yes.
That's one of the many reasons to come here.
Definitely. Definitely. The market shops that, you know, got some goodies that have been brought down. The cinnamon buns are probably one of the things smelling so great this morning down at the bakery. And, you know, Easter's tomorrow. A lot of great things here to fill up those Easter baskets with and do some shopping. Maybe grab some goodies for your Easter meal and have fun at the market.
I was just, I said, Rufus, you ought to have a hot dog. And he was saying no. And as he had his hand in the bag, now he's handing them out.
This strawberry bubble tea is like the best, most refreshing thing I've had in a long time.
What does it taste like?
It is like strawberries.
All right.
Just strawberries.
All right, we'll be back.
Mike, on behalf of St. Michael's Church, you are so beloved, and we are so thankful for all the many gifts you have brought to our church. And so many congratulations to you on your 5 decades at WPTF, where you have brought your many gifts to the whole triangle. Bless you and thank you. Greg Jones.
Half a century behind the mic, and Mike Raley's still growing seeds of wisdom, laughter, and green thumb know-how, celebrating 50 years on the air at WPTF. Welcome back to the Weekend Gardener with the one and only Mike Raley.
Wow. Thank you, Greg. My long time rector at St. Michael's Episcopal at our church home. It really is home. It's a very unique, beautiful, gorgeous place, 8 acres that Smead York's daddy, Willie York, who built Cameron Village, gave to the church. He was a member, and it is an extraordinary place with extraordinary people and one heck of a rector. Thank you, Greg, very much. That means a lot. I'll see you tomorrow because I'm ushering. Melissa and I are ushering. Dad works 7 days a week. Yeah, that's pressure. Pressure. Ushering in a big church is pressure. Choreography. Hey, Chip, give Chip a mic because we need to talk about King's Auto Service, Chip, and they have kept your cars running for a long time, I know.
Yes, they have. I about 3 or 4 months ago, I had to make a huge decision. I had a car needed $7,000 worth of work. It's a 13-year-old car. It's an Avalon.
That's 13 years old?
Yeah. It looks great.
It does.
But a new car that I wanted would be $50,000. $7,000, $50,000. It wasn't a real hard decision.
Yeah.
So I had Dean fix it.
So what needed to be done? What needed to be done? Because all cars, even if you take care of them.
And something else, the carriage or something, need to replace the power carriage.
Even if you take it to preventative service is so important. But even if you do that, at some point, you're going to have stuff done, and you don't want to put bad money after good.
No.
But this was good money,
yeah.
Especially in that equation.
And the parts are guaranteed for 3 years.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Now the transmission may go out next week, so I may be spending some more money, but. But it's running great.
Well, it's a reliable car.
It's big.
One.
I love the length of it.
Yeah. And you were a Cadillac man for a long time.
I had 3 Cadillacs, and each one Dean would tell me when it was time to trade.
Yeah.
He said, you're not in right. You're okay right now, but and then start spending more money.
Right.
Time to get rid of it.
So you enjoyed luxury. How did the Avalon stack up to that? You're a tall guy.
Avalon's
too.
I'm much smaller than the last Cadillac I had.
Yeah.
Cadillacs kept getting smaller and smaller each year.
Right. That's true.
I had 3 DeVilles.
Yeah. So you want to hold on? You want to hold on to this for a while?
I am.
I can understand that.
Oh sure.
Because you've taken really good care of it.
But people need to have a huge amount of pollen this year. Need to go have your filter cleared.
Yeah, there are a bunch of different filters in there. The cabin air filter.
Yeah.
And. And, of course, there is at least one air filter under the hood that, the engine really goes through a lot. And all of these batteries, now the 12-volt battery, it's hard to figure out when they're gonna give up. But they don't last as long as they used to because there's so many electronic items in there. in your car now, the newer cars especially. So they're probably not going to last more than 3 years or so. Have you found that to be true with your batteries, or have you paid any attention?
My battery's done pretty well, actually.
Really? Okay.
I don't think Toyotas are exactly overly complicated as far as electronics goes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why most anybody can work on.
Yeah, that's true. But King's is the best, and one reason is I think Dean Bailey is, frankly, and I've dealt with a lot of intelligent people, he's one of the smartest people I've ever met.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we...
And they're really into that, electric cars, too.
Yeah, and the hybrid cars, they have certified hybrid technicians, and King's Auto Service, 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh, kingautomotive.net. King Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. Well, thank you, Chip, and keep going with that Avalon. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up from one of my favorite places in the world, the State Farmers Market in Raleigh.
Thanks for joining us on the Weekend Gardener. More gardening conversation just ahead. Stick around. One voice, a lifetime of Saturdays spent growing with you.
Hey, Mike Raley, Pat McCrory, former governor of North Carolina, now just a lonely old gardener trying to pick up tips from you. Congratulations, a great 50 years with WPTF. Incredible 50 years. I'm so proud of you, and I hope we'll have 50 more years on WPTF. Take care.
Some people grow gardens. Some people grow legacies.
Hey, it's Mad Dog Afternoons on 94.7 WQDR, and I've had the honor to work with Mr. Mike Raley now for over 20 years. The man is an absolute legend. Mike, congratulations on 50 years. What a remarkable accomplishment. Your legacy will be stamped for eternity, not just in the hallways here at Curtis Media Group, but in North Carolina radio and our industry as a whole. Congratulations on 50 years, Mike Raley. He's kind of a big deal. People know him.
50 years, Mike Raley has done both.
And cheers to 50.
50 years.
50 years.
50 years.
50 years. Of service to WPTF.
This is the Weekend Gardener with Mike Raley.
We're back
on
at
WPTF.
I'll let him get that out. Porting those call letters. We're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We haven't. We've talked about me, and I apologize. We haven't talked a lot about gardening. We did talk about this beautiful peony. I don't know, where did Rufus roll off to? Did he cash in, or?
He went around the corner real quick.
Okay. At any rate, I wanted to ask Rufus, but he brought some plants this morning from his garden. And what a precious, beautiful garden that is. And I hope that you will come by if you have a chance to take that up. It's something I meant to say at the very beginning of the show, but gosh, we're at 9:35 already. We're moving right along. That's one thing about this show, it always moves fast. Jeff, have you discovered that it kind of moves fast?
Here's the fastest 3 hours in radio.
Which can be a good thing, but as long, I've always said, as long as the equipment is working, it's a breeze to do for me.
And that's why I love what we have now, because when I first started doing this, we didn't have
all kinds of equipment. The equipment has advanced a great deal. I can remember doing a remote in somewhere close to Fuquay Varina, and we were just beyond. It was what was called a Marty. That was it was a little transmitter, and it would have to send a signal back to a receiver in Cary.
Yeah.
And I think we were just beyond the bounds of it, because we kept getting two-way traffic from somebody. We never did figure out who that was.
You got airport signals from already used.
A lot of 10-4s. No, it was no airport. It was 10-4. So we have evolved greatly.
Reminds me of a story in the early 1960s. Paul Brown, the coach of the Cleveland Browns, tried to do what they have now and have coaches you know, call plays into their go directly
to the
from the they tried doing that in the early 1960s and they wound up getting airport signals from the Cleveland airport, you know.
It's very disturbing.
Let's go 5, 6, 3, eastbound from St. Louis, about to land, about to land, you know.
But he was an innovator, so that's okay. And thank goodness for Comrex and all and their equipment here. Very thankful to have it. So we have lectures going on to the left of me, and Amanda. What are you talking about? What are you lecturing on over there, Dave? What is she telling you?
Dave, you got to explain.
Dave, what is
problem.
She telling you?
We were talking about transplanting ligustrums that have been there, and the pattern for the yard or the layout for the yard has suddenly changed. So I have to move these ligustrum that had been there for close to 2 years, and put them to new holes around a fence.
Why has the landscape changed?
Because my wife put in a fence, and now she wants them on the outside.
Was this an overnight thing, and you didn't know about it, or
did
she discuss it with you?
I had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
So that's what I'm working with. So the question is, I've got these holes dug for the new locations, and the question was about soil treatment or what to put in place to help these things along. And then that's where the lecture started. Because apparently we were going in the I was instructed to go in a very wrong direction. By my lovely wife. And the person who she talked with at a certain nursery.
Okay. So did you you've already dug the holes?
The holes are dug into very nasty clay that has some roots going across it, but that's not my problem right now.
Okay. It's not like a scene from Cool Hand Luke.
No, you dig
the hole and then you have to cover it back up.
I'm ready. I'm ready for that, though.
Okay. What it sounds like. Well, what is your advice?
Well, so the recommendation from the nursery was to put in, I think, 40% Permatil, 40% peat moss.
Peat moss.
And
10% 20%
top
peat moss.
Okay. And that's a no. I cannot stress to anybody out there in radio land, do not put peat moss in your soil.
Well, that has been stressed on this. I know Ann Clapp used to talk about that.
Yes.
Why?
Well, Lord have mercy. What on earth?
Sorry about that.
That was Rufus. He always has an auspicious entrance. He has just joined us again, and it's a way to get attention.
Well,
a little feedback. That was all.
So the
continue.
The peat moss there. I don't know where this came from. I think it's just an old, you know, bit of misinformation from way back in the day. You know, clay, especially around here in Raleigh and the Wake County area. You know, we have Triassic Basin clay. It's really tough and sticky and blah, and it's hard to grow plants in. So I've heard gypsum, I've heard peat moss, and really the research is in compost is the soil breaker or the clay breaker. So adding compost to clay will break up that clay, and it takes time. Everybody wants an instant, you know, solution to clay, and there is no instant solution. But trust me, in about 2 to 3 years, you will see the dividends in that. And so do not put peat moss in clay to break it up. Do not put peat moss in clay for whatever reason. Peat moss is appropriate on, you know, down east.
Plus you see what happens with the moss down there. It catches on fire and never goes out.
Well, there's that, but you know, it's used in the horticulture trade, mainly for growing plants in pots. It's perfect for growing plants in pots because it holds moisture really well, and it also holds nutrients really well. So when you're growing a pot in a plant in a tiny pot, it's great because it's like a little sponge for your plant to grow in, and that's fine, but definitely not in a soil in the ground situation. Also the addition of topsoil, I always tell people to be very cautious when they're purchasing topsoil because there's no legal definition for topsoil. Everybody can claim that they're selling you topsoil. I've seen topsoil bags, and you really need to be very discerning because especially if you have clay, if you have a topsoil that's very heavy in sand, if you add sand and clay together, you get brick.
So you've completely undone the whole purpose of trying to break up your clay. So really the emphasis from the universities, the research has shown an addition of compost, really either incorporating into the backfill or doing it at, just as a top dress, as a mulch on top is best, and nothing else. I know that Permatil has a really big market share here, and there has been some efficacy reducing mole and vole predation around roots and plants, and then that's a great way. One of the issues you were also trying to solve was drainage. So when you're digging a hole for a plant in clay, you really are creating a clay pot for it, especially if you don't break up those sides. But adding Permatil to that and creating a different kind of growing situation around your plant, you're essentially growing a plant in a pot in the ground. So you're really not doing that plant any service. You want that plant to get established in the soil that it's growing in, not in this little tiny hole that you've dug it in. So trying to keep the soil as similar as you can around the plant will help it get established through time.
Got it.
Yeah. All right, we're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We're going to talk more about what we do every week, plants, and a lot of other things that get mixed in, too.
By the way, Mike, I have some plants to give away, some roses.
You do. I mentioned that, but Rufus has some of his famous plants that he has dug up for you. We'll be back from the State Farmers Market with the Weekend Gardener.
Thanks for joining us on the Weekend Gardener. More gardening conversation just ahead. Stick around.
This is Commissioner of Agriculture Steve Troxler. I just wanted to congratulate you on 50 years at WPTF. That is absolutely amazing. And I know over the years we've had a lot of conversations together and I've always enjoyed it. And I thought 20 years being Commissioner of Agriculture is a long time, but 50 years, my goodness. Congratulations, and I'll talk to you soon.
For 50 years, Mike Raley has been the voice you trust, the friend you welcome in every Saturday morning, celebrating 50 years on the air at WPTF. Welcome back to the Weekend Gardener with the one and only Mike Raley.
Oh, how about that, Commissioner Troxler? I'll tell you that he is one of a kind. You know, we had, of course, Commissioner Graham, who you worked with so long, Rufus, and Commissioner Troxler, they're both so unique and so lovable.
Absolutely.
And they are agriculture.
Well, he always kids me about my faux pas when I was running for governor about barbecue. He never has forgotten that.
Yeah, and I'm sure Commissioner Graham may have had something to say too.
He certainly did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you catch it from both well-known from both sides? Yeah. Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
You've done well.
Well, I was thinking a moment ago about 50 years, and I don't be like this woman when I was practicing law. She came in one time and she said, "I want a divorce." I said, "Well, how long have you been married to the same man?" She said, 70 years." I said, "Why in the world, after 70 years, would you want a divorce?" And she said, "Well, Rufus, this it's this way. Enough is enough."
Well, just think of it. If you'd been at the governor's mansion, you would have had Dunkin' Donuts right beside. I mean, Krispy Kreme donuts right beside you all of that time.
I'd have made a beeline down there.
I didn't even think about that. Man, that's
right,
the governor
right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's brilliant.
You have to ask security, would y'all open the door, please, so I can walk across the street? Or walk down the street. I guess it's a block away. But, we got Paul. Paul, good morning to you.
Hey, Mike. Congratulations, buddy. I tell you,
a cake, Paul. Paul, you better... You better come here. I don't know. We have to call out everybody who. Somebody have a loudspeaker. Paul, it's too bad you didn't come out here today.
Well, you know what, Mike? I got another chore I got to do today. I'm buying a backhoe combination front end loader.
Well, that was right on the tip of my tongue that you were gonna do that.
Yeah,
look at that.
I'm going to pick it up today. I had to do a little repairs to it before I bought it, but I fixed the hydraulic line last weekend. But anyway, I really wanted to come down there. I was down at the farmer's market yesterday seeing Gerald.
I saw Gerald this morning. He came over for a few minutes.
Yeah, you remember that?
We have to take him some cake.
Do you remember that little the root that I showed you guys a couple years ago? The tomato root that I made that little sculpture out of?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give that to Gerald on Monday. I finally got it mounted, and I'm going to put a coat of shellac on it and give it to him on Monday. So.
Wow. Well, he is a tomato man. We've got to get time passes so quickly. I haven't had Craig LaHoulier on. I got to get in touch with him. I saw him on Instagram the other day. He was doing a live thing, as he does. Most interesting man, very learned man, and as is Gerald. And
I was last night. I was doing a little bedtime reading, and I was reading his article in the magazine there. So yeah. And I've got my plants. I've almost got everything in the ground, and everything is good. Look, I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but I just want to say everybody in this community is so proud of you, and we all think the world of you, and we love the show, all the guests, and all the people who call in. It's great, and I'm in good company because I also called from Hawaii one time.
Yeah. Yeah, that really wasn't a chore. If there's a prettier place on this earth than some, not all of Hawaii, but much of Hawaii. I think I was on Kauai, which is pretty one of the prettiest islands in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Very unspoiled. Elvis liked it. That's where Blue Hawaii was filmed and a lot of other movies. But it was no chore at all to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and call the weekend gardener.
Well,
yeah, I've called from a lot of different places.
You called from Croatia one time.
Croatia last year.
Yes.
I remember.
And I'll call from Norway this year.
Well, I called from Canada one time.
You did?
Yeah. I was in the botanical gardens.
That's right. You were in the botanical gardens. What were you up there for? You were representing somebody, weren't you?
It was a client. A big trial, yes.
Wow.
I had to put on a robe.
You didn't have to wear a wig, did you?
No.
God, I would love to.
That's the UK.
I'd love to have
the UK. They do require a wig there.
Well, they did in this court, but the judge had on one, but I didn't.
Okay. Well, how about that?
Rufus, one time it snowed in a January show that we were doing, I'd say around 2023. And he had to do the whole show in. He had to phone it in.
It was from Boone.
Oh, really? From Boone? I didn't know that. No wonder you can't get in.
That was my second show.
Yeah. It was from Boone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness for technology. Just cell phones. It works so well.
I'm going to be at the Chelsea Flower Show this year. I could call in.
No, not fair. I haven't been to that, and I haven't been to the Tulip Festival either. The Tulip Festival usually falls during April, and I can't. We have so much going on with this show in April. I hate to leave in April, but one of these days I'm going to make it to there.
Yeah, no, you got to get that on your bucket list.
Yeah, definitely. And Chelsea, you know, we were thinking about that as a trip for the Weekend Gardener years ago before the pandemic. We decided on Italy, this Italian trip. We almost made it, but COVID hit. So. Yeah, Chelsea would have been a good one. And
oh,
I know
goodness.
Ann Clapp went to that. Rufus, you haven't been to the Chelsea Flower Show, have you?
No, I have not. That's a bucket list.
So. Yeah. You definitely need to get that
would,
one.
It's that
amazing.
Would be nice.
It really is amazing.
Well, Paul, have a fun day picking out that backhoe.
Thank you.
Sounds like
what a nice toy.
Afternoon. Yeah, don't knock down any buildings.
No, I
don't
won't.
Don't run into anything.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
Bye. All right. Well, yeah. There's a cake here. It looks very very Octoberish. Looks very punk.
Looks like it covers about a half acre.
It does. It does. I don't know if we have enough people here. We'll have to get some of the folks from surrounding areas in here.
I've got to go. The reason I was late earlier is I was actually getting some tomatoes, and I left my wallet up here. So I got to go back and deliver.
Okay.
I can deliver some cake down to the tomato folks.
Yeah. Please do that. I think there'll be plenty to go around. All right. We only. Well, I'll tell you, we're just time is just going too quickly today.
How about the Cliff Joiner?
Cliff Joiner would be fine. We've got 30 seconds.
Spring adds new life and new joy to all that is. How appropriate.
Say it again.
Spring adds new life and new joy to all that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for the pine pollen.
Right.
But
we'll be seeing Cliff this coming weekend.
That's right. Next weekend, we're going to have lunch with him and everything. Have a big time in Nashville next week.
That sounds like fun.
A little homecoming. We'll be back with more of the WPTF Weekend Gardener at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh.
But don't go far. One more hour to go as we keep celebrating Mike Raley's 50 years behind the mic.